Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast, the podcast that cares more about you than you do. I'm your host, Pete Pollack, and I would like to apologize before I get too far for my voice if I have some kind of a deep voice thing going on today. That's because I stayed up late watching the movie. It's been kind of a busy week, and I stayed up late last night watching the movie. And I really wasn't up to doing the podcast at, you know, some ridiculous hour. I have no idea what hour that may have been, because I didn't even want to look at the clock. But I had no desire to do it, and so I decided to do the podcast first thing in the morning. And so here I am, and it sounds like I've had about 45 cigarettes. And I'm just going to kick back and do my podcast, do the show. This week, we are looking at the fabulous All Quiet on the Western Front. And this is the third ever Oscar Best Picture. And it's another war movie. So we've got two war movies. The war movies are beating the musicals 2-1 so far. And this is, to be honest with you, this is kind of a difficult movie to review. I kind of have mixed feelings about it. And I'll get to that in a moment. I was told last week that I did not go hard enough on Broadway Melody. So I don't want to be mean. I do want to be mean, actually. But I don't want to be mean for no reason. I kind of want to, you know, if a movie deserves to be applauded, then it should be applauded. Broadway Melody really did not deserve to be applauded, but I tried to be even-handed, and maybe people want me to be a little meaner, but I'm not going to be mean just to be mean, even though it is kind of funnier if I am. So and this movie, I really can't be mean about, although I did have some problems with it, and I'm not going to give it a strong recommendation, but I'll get to that in a minute. This it's an interesting movie in the sense that it's about the Germans in World War I, and everything is told from the German point of view. Although, to be honest, it throws you a little off because although all the characters are German, they speak an absolutely perfect American English and in American idioms. They sound just like any American war movie teenagers, 20-somethings, running around. They sound just as they would if it was a movie about the American forces in a war. And so it's kind of a strange... It took a little getting used to, because they're running around with those pointy helmets on. And, you know, they're all the words in the background are in German. Like, if you see a sign, it's in German. But they don't even really bother to go with the Hogan's Heroes route where they, you know, affect a fake German accent. Which, really, let's be honest, it's probably for the better anyway that they didn't do that. But the movie suffers from a lack of plot. And I have a problem with that. It's really more of a series of vignettes of things that happen to the same group of people. But there's really no narrative theme other than the fact that there's a war going on and they're fighting in it, which I suppose is a narrative theme. But there's really no narrative that connects one scene to the next most of the time. They're here and this happens to them, and then they cut to a new scene and they're in a different place and this is happening to them. And it gets a little tedious after a while. The movie runs over 2 hours, and it was difficult to watch, especially in about, I would say, the first half. I was kind of, now maybe it's because I was tired. I'll admit that, but it was kind of tedious to get through, and I don't know that I would have stuck with it had I not wanted to do the podcast. Of course, this is one of the reasons I'm doing these things, is so that I watch these movies. And it's, you know, it's nice practice for broadcasting type stuff. Not that I really plan on being a broadcaster, but it's, it's fun to do these, but it's also a good chance for me to watch a bunch of old classic movies and see what I think of them. And, well, let me get to the good parts. There are the just as Wings had spectacular air scenes, the movie I reviewed a couple weeks ago, this movie has spectacular war scenes on the ground, and they really are. Actually, they blow Wings away, and fortunately, the movie is misnamed because it is not quiet on the Western Front at all. You'd be hard pressed to find anything or anyone in this film that isn't blown up or shot or something. And when I say blown up, I mean there are explosions going off like 2 feet away from people. You know, life was cheap back in 30 or 31. My years are off because the Oscars kind of changed what was eligible, and so, you know, I can't just go sequentially back then. They kind of bounced around a little bit. But life was cheap back then, apparently, and they were perfectly happy to put actors or stunt people right next to explosions. You know, nowadays, I know that they do that now, but I suspect there's a lot more safety regulations involved and probably more green screens and things like that. And in this movie, you can tell that they're right there. And, you know, it gets pretty violent and pretty crazy. And people are storming out of trenches. And the action scenes, again, as I said about Wings, I think the, you know, maybe there's something that these movies were... They're made about World War One, and World War One wasn't that long before the movies came out or before they were made. So the war was still fresh in everybody's mind. There were still probably a lot of people running around who had been in it or who knew a lot about it. And so things struck me as being very accurate. But that said, the lack of narrative is really kind of rough to drag out for over 2 hours. Now, there were a few really interesting things that I kind of like to compare some of these old movies to modern day, or, you know, things that happened in my lifetime. And there's a scene in there where the German soldiers are sitting around in a trench or a dugout or something, and they're discussing why they're at war, and none of them really knows. They all get, the movie starts with a bunch of kids in a classroom, being encouraged by their teacher to go off and fight for the fatherland and go off and die in glory. And he builds this beautiful, picture of how fantastic a human you are if you run off and join the armed services. And they all do. And then halfway through the movie, they're all kind of sitting there going, why are we in this war again? And, you know, I've never seen an Englishman or a Frenchman or anything until I started shooting at them. I don't have anything against them. They probably don't have anything against me. They've probably never seen a German before they started shooting at me. And, you know, then they get into this discussion. Well, you know, one country insults another country. What are you talking about? You know, a lake insults a mountain? Or, you know, and then it comes down to the leaders and making decisions, and nobody really gets why they're there. They're just there, and they kind of feel like pawns. And it was really interesting to see a scene like that, because it kind of reminded me a little bit of Platoon, much more recent movie, obviously. But that was the same, and I'm sure there are other movies that have touched on this, but I can't think of them off the top of my head. Platoon is the first movie that I saw that really gave you the impression that, you know, instead of many war movies where people are off, you know, we're going to storm that hill and we're going, you know, for glory and honor and blah, blah, blah. And we're singing songs and it's a long way to Tipperary and whatever. Platoon gave you this impression where people, you know, the people on the ground were just kind of there and, you know, go here and shoot at this and then go here and try not to die. And that tedious aspect of war, that kind of being lost in the woods thing, I suspect, again, never having been there, I suspect that is part of what soldiers end up dealing with. And it was interesting to see them bring that out in the 30s as well. And in a movie about German soldiers, especially. And there's another nice series of scenes where one of the main characters, and again, these are main characters just because they're in every scene, not because there's a big theme that runs through them and really makes you care about the characters. But one of the main characters gets a leave. He's injured. He gets leave. He goes back home for a little while, and he's wandering around. He meets up with some of these guys in a bar, some of these older men, and they're discussing what the army needs to do, and we're going to move people here, and we should come through this pass, and blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, well, you know, the war looks a lot different when you're on the front lines than it does here sitting around a table. And I thought that was a really good point. And of course, this guy just ends up wandering away out of the discussion because these guys start arguing about, they pretty much ignore him, and they just start arguing about what the army needs to do and how the generals need to control it. And they, of course, they don't know anything. And then the guy wanders back to his old teacher, the one who got him to join the army in the first place. And the teacher is giving the same spiel to, and this is 3 years later, just for a time frame. And so the guy spent 3 years pretty much on the front lines, and the teacher is giving the same spiel to another bunch of kids saying, oh, you know, it's great. You'll go out, you know, go off, fight for your country. There's nothing more glorious than that. It's the most wonderful thing you'll ever do in your life. And the guy comes into the classroom, and the teacher says, oh, you've got to tell them about this life you're living, this grand adventure you're living. And the guy is like, you know, it really kind of stinks. I don't know what you want me to tell you, but, it's not what you're hearing. And it was really interesting. You know, they say it a little more eloquently in the movie, but you know, if I told you everything, you'd have no reason to see it. And maybe you still have no reason to see it, because I'm going to give it a skip it review. Of course, my rating system is a 3-pointer, skip it, rent it, or own it. And, I'm giving it a skip it, primarily because I think most people just aren't going to be that interested in it. Now, if you really are interested in what war would have looked like, and you're prepared to sit there through 2 hours of a kind of a tedious movie, then by all means, go out and get it. The movie looks good. It's very beautifully done. There's excellent camera work, and I suspect a lot of realism. But for the most part, most people, I don't think, are going to really be that into it. And so I'm going to say you can move on and maybe get Platoon. See, I'm getting into a habit now of last week I recommended, what did I recommend? I recommended Singing in the Rain over Broadway Melody, if you really have to see a musical. And I'm going to recommend Platoon over this movie. Not big, even though they were made, you know, 60 years apart or whatever. If you really want to get that tedious feel and actually have a narrative plot line, Platoon is probably a better choice. But it was worth seeing once. And we're going to move on. So next week, we're looking at Cavalcade. And I don't really know much about Cavalcade. It's about 30 years of a family or something, and can't wait. Yeah, you know, maybe it'll be really good. It's actually been recommended on a number of boards that I looked at, so hopefully that one will be a rockin' film. Until then, you can get clips of the movies at bignoisybug.com, and you can contact me at movies@bignoisybug.com. I'm always happy to hear your opinions. Until next week, I'm Pete Pollack. This is the Big Noisy Bug Movie Podcast. Stay cool. Should be easy in the fall weather.